Welcome to the Pinken.com Norwich City podcast. My name is Michael Bailey. We are here to look back on a bit of a roller coaster of a weekend, actually, in the Premier League for Norwich City. David Freeser's got his Pinken supplement out and ready for action. You were at the Beanback, weren't you, Dave? So we'll have a chat about that. And EDP Chief Norwich City writer Paddy David is with us too. Let's start with you, Paddy. I suppose we have to take the weekend in sort of two sections, don't we, really? What happened to Norwich City and what happened elsewhere? The Norwich bit was pretty rough and the rest of it was pretty
tense
is the word you're looking for. Yeah. Anybody who sat through that Sunderland Leicester game, I don't know, it just goes with the territory now, doesn't it? When Norwich getting a Premier League, always seems to be the stage of the season, there's always, as you say, it's a two-step strategy. Can Norwich do the business? And if they can't, then you have to rely on others to do it for them. And that's the second time now Leicester have come to their rescue. I was thinking about that this morning. I mean, they beat Newcastle in Benitez's first game, so, you know, I think there'll be plenty of Norwich fans will be happy to see them go on and lift the title now, as long as Norwich can take care of business, because, yeah, that was big. That was big. They missed their own opportunity at Palace. And you feared the worst, really, given Sunderland had come into that game after on the back of four draws. But, no, so Leicester did a good job on them, and you know, to me, Sam Allardyce looked to be a bit downcast about it all, I thought, after the game. So, you know, he'll have to pick himself up and his players. But certainly you've got to think, if you're Alex Neil or the Norwich boys watching that or getting the information relayed to you on Sunday, that's got to give you a boost, you know, because it's all about ebbs and flows and momentum, and they didn't have it at 5 o'clock on Saturday, and now you feel they've got it again.
That's the thing for me. Sunderland keep spurning their chances, probably more so than Norwich, and I know you mentioned it, wrote it myself as well in the paper today, the game when they were leading in injury time at Southampton and against 10 men and still threw that away. That was the same weekend Norwich lost at Swansea, and then everything would have looked a whole lot worse at that point. There was a great picture of Sam Allardyce scratching his head in his post-match interview on yesterday. I didn't quite get to take the picture in time on my iPad, but I think that summed it up. And yeah, it's just a major boost, wasn't it, for Norwich?
He looked absolutely crestfallen afterwards. I mean, he almost looked like he was close to tears, and I don't think that's something you would expect of Big Sam. He's a pretty tough guy, isn't he? But he was very, very disappointed with that. Maybe this is the Norwich way. You know, they said they were looking for the Norwich way. This is it. A tense end to the Premier League season that they can't quite get there. But yeah, disappointing on Saturday. They have missed a big chance. It wasn't like they were terrible, were they? But I don't think they showed enough ambition going into the game, really, in how the team was set up or how they actually performed, as Alex said after the game, to deserve a win. So if they'd have got a draw, I think that would have been a fair result. I think the defeat was perhaps a little bit harsh, but Zaha looked like he was going to cause problems when he came on, and I don't think they quite had enough to do it on the day.
Yeah, I think given the afternoon Bakary Sakho had, I think it was always a case of when Wilfred Zaha would come on, and he definitely made a difference. I mean, Palace have, to me, they've been pretty average in most of the games I've seen them, but certainly the two against Norwich, where dodgy refereeing decisions have effectively played a part. And I think we'll get onto the penalty in a bit, but you know, in terms of Bolasie and Zaha, I mean, that side really shouldn't have gone 14 games, wasn't it, without a win since they last won in the Premier League.
No, not really. Not. I mean, you have to. It starts with the manager, doesn't it? I know he's not everyone's cup of tea, but you have to question what's gone on there. For, as Alex Neil pointed out, that's effectively half a league campaign that they haven't won a game in the league. So for a team who finished 10th, I think, under Pardew last season, that was their best in the Premier League. He's gone out, they've gone and got Kabay, who certainly has the pedigree, and he looked a decent operator down here on the opening weekend, and yeah, the wheels came off in a big way. So yeah, definitely a missed opportunity from Norwich's point of view. I mean, Alex Neil, Dave touched on it there, Alex Neil kind of referenced it afterwards when he was drawing parallels with West Brom, and I think they went with the same mindset that they hoped it was going to be a scrappy game, not really one for entertainment value, and they would just nick it, and that was effectively the template that served them well at the Hawthorns. But unfortunately, the moment of quality this time, or the key moment, was Puncheon's intervention. So yeah, it was almost, if you go with that mindset of, okay, yeah, a draw is probably not a bad result here, and then you fall behind, they just never really got a head of steam going in that final 25 minutes.
I mean, it was a good goal. I mean, that's okay, though, Norwich going there and doing that, isn't it? I mean, it was always going to be a cagey game anyway. It wasn't like I mean, Norwich had their moment. To be honest, I thought their play was perfectly fine up until the final third. It was just the abysmal quality of their crossing by the most part, and maybe a lack of composure in front of goal, which just seemed more of an off day than anything else. I mean, to sort of build and grow into the game was okay, wasn't it, in this situation?
Yeah, but if the mindset is that, you know, a point suits us, then you basically then, you know, obviously you go one behind, and then it's, they, as you can see, got a massive lift from that, and Norwich were then in a completely different game then, and I think it's hard to change gear when you've gone with that approach, when you just felt, because Palace was so hesitant and so tense and so nervous given the run they were on, that if Norwich could have been a bit more proactive in an attacking sense, but that to me doesn't stem solely from the manager. I mean, this player's there, need to have a look at themselves again. Naismith again, I thought, was nowhere near it, you know, in terms of what you hoped he would bring to the club, and what he showed on his debut against Liverpool, not seeing it at all. Not, and it's not enough to say he's had the upheaval of moving from Liverpool and his wife was pregnant and what have you. That doesn't wash for me. Or, you know, he's not fit because he hasn't played the game time at Everton. The amount of money Norwich played, he needs to be producing better than he is, and he's not.
I think whether they admit it or not, subconsciously, I think they thought this is a game that they would be happy if they drew. Because if they take 4 points from that game and Sunderland on the run that they were already on, then that would pretty much have seen them safe. So I think that maybe seeped into the mentality a little bit, because I just don't think they showed the ambition that warranted a win, and that looked fairly apparent in the play. I mean, obviously there was a bit of a turning point when Tim Closer went off, when he got injured, and I think, well, I'm sure it was in the away end as well, as much as it was at Carrow Road for the beanback, everybody was groaning, not so much as Seb Bassong was coming on, but just that it was anyone other than Tim Closer.
The most typically Norwich predictable thing that was ever going to happen, so much so I said it in the office during the week that was just when you build up a player like that and everything's going so well. I don't know what it is, whether Murphy's Law, whatever. I mean, it is Monday evening, you know, it takes swelling a few days to go down before you then can scan and actually assess the damage. He kind of jarred his left knee in a challenge that he then got booked for, which probably wasn't as bad a challenge as the one for the penalty shout which had happened earlier, but that's a discussion for a few minutes time. To me, Pat, there's no way Closer's going to be fit for Saturday, and you know, we haven't got many games or much time of the season left to go. It could quite possibly be out for the rest of it.
Could be. Could miss his country's Euro campaign as well, you know, if it's the worst case scenario. So, you know, we can't, you know, it's difficult. You can't talk about this with any certainty because we don't know the extent of the injury. So at this stage, it's probably best to wait and see, I think. But yeah, ultimately, if he is out for the foreseeable, then given the impact he'd made and the impact he'd had on the others in that defensive unit and the keeper, massive, could be a massive blow. But as I say, I mean, we'll discuss, I'm sure, in more detail. I don't think so much for Sunderland, but if they didn't get the result they needed against Sunderland, then you begin to fear that could come home to roost.
I mean, well, I was going to say, I mean, the key thing is Seb Bassong came in on Saturday, and he's coming into a side that has a bit more confidence and assuredness about them as a legacy of Tim playing, so it's maybe a little bit different.
Yeah, I think we can plan without Closer for Sunderland for the meantime. I mean, if he comes back, then great, it's a boost. But I think Norwich are capable of beating Sunderland at home with Seb Bassong in defence, as long as they do the business going forward. And, you know, Naismith shows more, and Mbakani dominates the game in the way that he did against Newcastle. Something that I was disappointed with when Seb came on, he didn't even appear to make sort of eye contact with Ryan Bennett when he came on. If I'm coming into that situation where you need to win over the fans a little bit, I'm going straight up to my centre back partner and in a very dramatic Sunday League style, high fiving them and saying, "Come on, let's
just see a show, pony, Dave." That's the problem.
I am, you know, newsman Celtic to the core. But I would be saying, "Come on, let's see this through to half time. Make sure we don't concede a goal." Didn't even look at Ryan Bennett. Went into his position and then just seemed to crack on with it. And, you know, I don't think he did a great deal wrong, but that's the sort of attitude I would want given the situation Norwich are in. And for the goal, I don't think you can blame him, but he didn't do brilliantly. He did duck out of the way a bit of it. It wasn't like he was desperately trying to get ahead on what was admittedly a good shot. But, like I say, I think Norwich are still capable of beating Sunderland with Seb Song in defence.
I can't remember exactly what was on the television. I can't remember if he, because sometimes these things happen and they're just off camera. I can't remember if it did happen or not. I would probably say, in terms of the goal, that you've got a midfield runner. Players like Robbie Brady and what have you did seem to let him go a little bit. I think Bamford was on the pitch, although that may not have been his responsibility at that time. Okay, well, tell you what, before we talk about the penalty incident, let's hear from Alec Neil and Matthew Jarvis.
I think the type of game that it was one I think most people had predicted. You know, I think it was going to be an edgy game. I didn't think there was going to be a huge amount in it. I think it was going to be decided by a bit of quality, a mistake, a decision, something like that. I didn't think it was ever going to be a comfortable win for either side. I thought it was going to be a close call, and unfortunately we found ourselves on the wrong side of it. I'll be honest with you, I didn't think it was a great game. I thought both teams were relatively direct. I think because we drew in the team, we probably went more direct than we would have liked at times, when we should have played a little bit more. And I think we got into some decent positions without having any real sort of quality to break them down. And to be honest, I thought it was likewise. I didn't think they had much, and then Punchin scores a really good goal for them, and then once we start to stretch it and go and try and force for an equaliser, a few more spaces opened up. But I just think that a lot of the games are really finely balanced, and it's about just making sure you find yourself on the right side of that, and we didn't.
Really disappointed. I thought we deserved to come away with at least a point. You know, there was loads of chances in the game. It was a bit cagey to start with, but I think a 0-0 draw would have been a fair result. Yeah, really disappointing from our side. Yeah, we, as you said, defended well. I think we've shown over the last few weeks how well we can defend and attack. And I think we created numerous opportunities that just didn't fall our way, and ultimately paid the price. I just gambled on the flick on and jumped and took it on my chest and just got wiped out. But he gave a corner, which was bizarre. But there we are. He said it wasn't a foul, so. So there we go. Yeah, obviously we're extremely disappointed that we didn't get anything from the game, but we need to make sure that we bounce back next week against Sunderland at home.
I assume he's a Matthew. He might just be born Matt, I don't know.
He's very well spoken, isn't he?
He is very well spoken. He's a nice enough guy. Probably not my first choice of interviewers in terms of Norwich City players, but he's a lovely bloke by all accounts. And he got shoved in the back quite hard by Damien Delaney, didn't he, Pad?
No, not good to referee Michael Oliver.
It was a call.
Yeah, which was the least out of all the three possibilities. I mean, I suppose by giving a corner, he's just assumed that Delaney touched the ball, I assume, which he didn't, and it was still wrong, and it should have been a penalty, yes?
Well, I mean, you know, if you shove somebody on the pitch, it's a foul elsewhere. It's the old chestnut. But you'd be a bit aggrieved if you were a Palace supporter, I think, if that was given. I think you'd be inserting the word soft. But by the letter of what a foul is and what isn't a foul, that was a foul. So, but apparently he's the best ref in the country, according to Pardew.
According to Alan Pardew after the game. Yeah.
So what can you do? What can you do? But Alex Neil didn't make much of it, mainly because I don't think he saw it quite as clearly as certainly the players in the vicinity. But I mean, you can only go by instant reactions in those situations, and Gary O'Neill led a delegation to it wasn't Jarvis alone appealing, so those Norwich lads were convinced it was a penalty.
I mean, it does really annoy me, because we have these discussions all season, and we'll say, oh, fair play Mike Dean, he saw Gary O'Neill's arm hit the ball, fair play Jamie Vardy, he played for the penalty that he won down at Carrow Road. But to me, it's so clear cut on Saturday, I can't believe he didn't give it. And I know that maybe Palace would have been a bit annoyed, but Delaney's gone straight through the back of him. It's a stupid challenge, and he'd only have himself to blame if he gave it.
I agree. I thought it was a definite penalty. I thought Jarvis did well to get across him. He showed the right intent, a good bit of pace, got in front of him, got the ball. I wouldn't say that he was looking to go down. I thought it was a pretty heavy challenge.
He does always look a bit like that, though, Matt Jarvis, as well, I suppose.
I suppose, but yeah, I think they can feel hard done by for that. But again, I don't think they did enough to win the game, so I think that's probably another reason why Alex wouldn't have gone on about it too much, because I think he knows in his heart of hearts they didn't deserve to win the game.
I don't care about that. They probably didn't. They probably didn't deserve to win at West Brom, to be honest. But they did it. Okay, well, let's move forward to Saturday then. How big a game is this, Paddy? I mean, as big as it's been for Norwich City in the Premier League, is it winner takes all?
No, not according to the manager. He's right what he says. I mean, as bad as Newcastle are at the minute, they are effectively, you know, they win their game in hand. They're 3 points behind, so there's no way you can discount them. But it does feel, it has the feel of a Norwich win, and given Sunderland and given the kind of signals Allardyce was giving off Sunday afternoon, they might be on the same slippery slope. Bookmakers are in no doubt. I've had a look at the odds earlier today, and both of those two clubs are long odds on. Norwich are twos against. So as it stands, the bookmakers feel that you look at the amount of points on the table, the respective run-ins, it should be Norwich. Norwich is to throw away, but you know, if you get beat on Saturday, then their mods will swiftly change. But yeah, for me, it's given the new TV deal around the corner, and not just the new TV deal, but the inflated amount involved in the new TV deal, then I don't think there's been a bigger game at Carrow Road in many, 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 many years.
It's always reassuring when it's Norwich to throw away. That always inspires me with a lot of confidence.
I don't feel nervous about it, but I feel nervous about that. I feel like you need a little bit of nerves, but I think the Sunderland players are going to be far more nervous going into this. I mean, it's just a massive opportunity for Norwich to go 7 points clear at that stage of the season with games, you know, Watford and Manchester United, Everton, all potentially having the FA Cup as distractions. I think that it would be very difficult to throw it away from that position. I hope they really go for the jugular from the off, do whatever, you know, like they did against Newcastle. They showed all the right intent, did exactly what the fans wanted. Perhaps bring Redmond in from the start. I mean, that's probably your biggest selection issue. Maybe bring Russell Martin back in at right back, but I don't think that's going to affect the game massively. But it's huge, and I think the fans are relishing it. I think after that Newcastle game, that was an enjoyable day. You know, it was a lot of pressure on it, but the fans seem to absolutely love it. So whether we're going to now see clappers and shields / bags and who knows what.
/ bags?
Whatever they were, whatever team closer thought they were. You know, it's just that one big push. Get this one over the line, and then can almost enjoy the rest of the season, I think.
Going to be a huge couple of weeks. I know that we've got 5-6 weeks or whatever of the season to go, but it's this next fortnight for me, because you've got Norwich, Sunderland, Newcastle playing at the weekend. Norwich then don't play the following weekend, but before that Newcastle will have played their game in hand, and then Sunderland and Newcastle both play on the weekend Norwich aren't involved. So Newcastle will have played a game more than Norwich of Sunderland by that point. Sunderland will be on the same games as Norwich, and it's then a straight four games pretty much run away, and then the picture will be so much clearer in the next probably 10 days, isn't it? Now we're on Monday, Tuesday time. Redmond coming in at Carrow Road on Saturday, do you fancy a bit of that, Pat?
I mean, Dave's spot on. It's there from now. You're at home, you've got 90 minutes, you get playing a direct rival. You would not want to see them go out passively and you know, try and hang in it. Basically, the mindset he sent them out at Palace and West Brom, that's not going to work here. You need all your heavy artillery on that pitch. And Redmond, yes, we know how inconsistent he can be, but on his day, as opposed to Jarvis, you just feel he can either score a goal or create something, and I'd have him in all day long.
I tell you what, how long ago does the 3-1 win at Sunderland feel? You know, that was that August or second? I think it was still August, wasn't it?
First away game of the season.
A lot of water under the bridge from there, but I feel reasonably confident that Norwich are still capable of beating Sunderland 3-1.
Well, goodness me, we'd take that, wouldn't we? Absolutely. I suppose one other thing we should reflect on back on the weekend's game, Patrick Bamford. The script was written for him. It was the big moment we were all looking forward to. And you know what? It was all perfect until he actually kind of came on the pitch, gave the ball away twice, and didn't really seem able to cope with the rather hostile atmosphere that then enveloped, and kind of had a bit of an on-pitch meltdown, really, didn't he, from that point on?
Well, for me, put him in a category with Naismith. He's not delivering, you know. He's got all, clearly has all the ability, and he's going to be a good player, I think, but there was an element of naivety, immaturity, you know. It was almost, as you say, you know, he almost like you could see him warming up, and he had this startled look on his face. He was getting booed as if he didn't expect it. I mean, he's obviously a very intelligent lad, we know that as well. So, you know, he must have known what was coming. But no, it's not a lad you can hang your hat on, I think, over the running now. I think we've seen enough now from him that he's not going to be the guy who's going to go out and score you five goals over this run in. So it's disappointing, but you know, it was worth it. It was a gamble worth trying in January. You know, nobody doubted his ability, and I think to a man and woman, most Norwich fans were happy to see him come through the door. But nah, he's too lightweight for me. So you know, maybe using
him next season if Norwich stayed up.
Well, that's a different scenario. I mean, if you had a full season to work with him, then it might be a different kettle of fish. But I certainly wouldn't, even next season, think he would be a front line option. I just think the way Norwich have to go about it in this division, they don't really need that type of player. You know, they need more of the Mbakani kind of physicality and athleticism, because they're not, let's be honest, they're not going to dictate games, they're not going to pass teams off the park more often than not. So I think maybe, no offence, but in a probably a better team with better players, then you'd probably see the best of him. But I just think for what Norwich are and where they are in the development, it's longer term now, that wouldn't work. But you know, ultimately he might pop up with a goal or two and prove me wrong. But no, that was a very unfulfilling cameo from the lad, and he'll know himself, he won't need anybody to tell him.
I have to say, I thought it was the right call at the time. I said to my dad that I didn't think it was Wes's game, because it was scrappy and frenetic, and you know, I was quite pleased to see Alex sort of acknowledge the script bit, you know, being was waiting to be written, as it were, because you, as a fan, I think you see those things, and you know, a player going back to his former club, surely it's written in the stars or whatever that he's going to finally shut up the home fans. But I think most managers normally would, you know, sort of wave that away and say, oh no, it was tactical, I don't believe in destiny and all that sort of stuff, this is a football match. But the fact that he admitted that, yeah, I thought the script was waiting to be written, I was quite pleased about. But yeah, definitely didn't work.
I think I didn't think the Ricky van Wolfswinkel ghost pass he made at Fulham on the attack a couple of years ago would be matched, but I think Patrick got quite close to doing that. Yeah. with the chip. I mean, crumbs. I think I would have. Oh, it doesn't matter anyway.
Darryl Russell enjoyed it on Radio Norfolk.
I bet he did. Okay, well, let's wrap this up then, shall we?
Just a quick word for the beanbag. Good idea.
Oh yeah, of course. Yeah, sorry, that's why you're here, Dave. To be honest, how was it?
It was okay. Yeah, I think it's possibly something that the club and maybe the Premier League, as a wider body, will look to pursue. You know, they've obviously had pubs showing games, legally or illegally, we're not sure which side of the line that it's been over the last few seasons. So you would have thought the Premier League have said, right, well, let's, you know, bring this in. We might, the club must have made money. You know, a lot of beer was drunk and plenty of pies were sold. So, you know, it was a good atmosphere. They had Radio Norfolk synced up with the TV signal as well, which was a perfect connection and stuff. You know, it wasn't streamed over some dodgy site at all. And it was good. It was packed in there. There was a good atmosphere. And I think that most fans would like to see that continue for away games, if possible.
That's an interesting point, actually, isn't it? Because, you know, the football club like to have ownership over what, yeah, you know, is done around anything to do with them. And you'd have thought, you know, it probably wouldn't do the pub trade any good. But
Chris Horan played it nicely, and he knew that they were being played and said hello to the fans back at the stadium. So he got his cheer.
He's a smoothie, that Chris Gorham. Okay, well, all the usual build-up to Saturday's game, which is a 12:45 kickoff. Everyone, don't go tuning in at 3 o'clock. You'll have missed it all. What will they have missed, Paddy?
Well,
I like the facial expression that listeners can't see currently.
I don't know. I'm basically not trying to think about it. It's too early in the week for this. So ask me again on Friday, maybe. But I think it's going to be fairly similar to Newcastle in terms of, you know, the occasion and let's hope the end result. But I think Norwich will have their periods, but you can guarantee Sunderland will have spells as well. So, you know, it'll take everything that Norwich produced on the pitch and off the pitch, I think, against Newcastle, and maybe a little bit more as well. But yeah, as Dave says, and even more so having watched them against Leicester Sunday, really it's there for the taking for Norwich. They're a better team than Sunderland, in my opinion. You know, they're in a better vein of form, they've won a few games of late, they're at home, they've got all their fans behind them. Just go out and seal the deal.
Yeah, I agree. I think it will be similar to Newcastle, maybe a little bit more nervy. You know, 2-1 Norwich would do me all day long, and I think Alex Neil's the right man for these sort of games, so hopefully he can prove that again.
I said before these three games that Norwich would beat Newcastle, lose at Palace, and then draw with Sunderland. So let's hope I'm not right. Thank you very much, gentlemen. Thank you all for listening. We'll be back on the other side of Sunderland. Enjoy it. Sing your hearts out for the lads. All that sort of gubbins. We'll see you on the other side, hopefully with a few smiley faces. Until then, goodbye.